Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic Friday today. Looks like we're actually about to get some rain over here in Florida. If not, it's primarily just overcast from the chemtrail spooge they've sprayed on us for the last 3 days straight. We've actually had some pretty clear skies down here for the last couple weeks, and they just were rolling coal with those planes the last couple days, and now it's been looking like it's going to rain for like 2 days and still hasn't rained, which is just fantastic with their geoengineering. But other than that, still a blessed day down here in Florida. We're still doing great at Health Masters. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. In fact, Dane Whittington just came out with a new video, and he actually has a ABC broadcaster here recently saying that the geoengineering is very real, that it's part of the government testing, but that it's totally safe, and they don't use any products that are dangerous to people or to the environment. but at least now they're admitting on a major ABC affiliate. Before it's like, you're crazy, they don't exist. You know, I see it, but I'm looking at them. You're crazy, they're not there. But I've tested the water. It's full of barium and aluminum. No, nothing to see here. Move on. But I've tested the water twice, and it was full of barium and aluminum. No. We're good. This is all fine. I'm like, no, it's not. This is nuts. Oh, by the way, Trump is apparently preparing an executive order to ban all Central American migrants, even those seeking asylum, from entering the U.S. via Mexico amid caravan chaos. The White House reportedly preparing an executive order to block incoming caravans of people. At least 7,000 Central Americans have been walking for days to reach the United States. I'm going to stop for a second. It doesn't take days to walk 1,000 miles. It takes months. It takes months with infrastructure and shoes and water and food and toiletries and. This is a marching army that is marching. Marching armies used to just raid and ransack everything they were going through because they had to feed themselves. This is a sponsored program, period. Trump tweeted on Thursday that they would be blocked by Border Patrol agents. Okay, I suggest he puts a whole bunch of active denial systems all across that area so they can't get through. The Pentagon is currently finalizing deployment of 1,000 troops to assist at the border. Trump has the ability to do this. He has the ability to put executive orders. He has the right to protect the borders of the United States. And quite frankly, I am really, really glad that he's doing this. This actually says a lot about him. What would happen had Hillary Clinton been in the White House? She would be putting a big welcome mat out saying, oh, by the way, 7,000, 15,000, 25,000 is not enough. Send us another 5, 10, 15, 20 million so they can all vote Democrat. I mean, this is a bunch of weird stuff that's going on, but that's what's happening. So at least Trump's standing up for that. I am really, really pleased with him speaking about weirdo Democrats. This is from the Breitbart. It says that DeSantis says that Florida will have sanctuary cities if Gillum, the hardcore communist leftist trained in the image of Obama, wins the governorship for the state of Florida. I believe that. I believe we will have sanctuary cities, and there will be a major, major problem in the United States. However, polls are now showing also that Republican DeSantis has taken the lead over the hardcore communist Democrat Gillum in the governor race. This is a new poll release on Wednesday shows Republican Ron DeSantis is leading Andrew Gillum in Florida's race. I personally believe that this is a joke. I think that Gillum has no chance of winning Florida. If it wasn't for the Jewish population that almost always votes Democrat in South Florida, he would have a snowball's chance in Florida in August at 105 degrees on black asphalt to win. But because of the fact that the Jewish population in South Florida almost always votes Democrat, you have really, really deep financial pockets, and they're always supporting Democratic candidates. He has a run at this, and I hope and pray he's a shooting star and he never comes back. Also, we're talking about Rick Scott right now. Rick Scott's actually behind the current Senator Bill Nelson here in Florida, and that basically Bill Nelson may re-win an election if you believe all of this. But I really want Bill Nelson out. He seems to be affected with some type of senile dementia, along with Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of the other mummies that are in Congress and in the Senate. And I hope that he's taken out, even though I'm sure that our governor, basically current Rick Scott, was given the go-ahead to run for Senate if he passed that gun legislation. That's how politics works, and that's how dirty it is. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what's going on. There's no question about it. And what's ironic now is, you know, we've seen, you know, because just a couple weeks ago, we started seeing all the polls, even whether you believe them or not, because I'm not a big fan of them at all, but however, they were starting to all swing to the right already in Florida and throughout the entire country. Then we had this whole issue with this whole migrant horde that's walking up from Honduras, however believable you want that to be as far as whether it's a organic group that are coming up or if they're actually being paid or if they're actually being driven, whatever the thing is, it's absolutely ridiculous. So now when they couldn't get that to stick because a lot of people supported it, now they started the fake bomb hoax to basically Biden and Clinton and Obama. And it's funny that supposedly these fake bombs have been sent to every single person that basically is a hardcore globalist communist that is trying to push that agenda. Ironically enough, hardly anybody that's actually running for office got a fake bomb. It was all people that are basically prior. So this way, I saw an article earlier here now, and it pulled up a photo, all these photos, it says 10 packages mailed with devices, explosive devices, and it had all the photos of all these guys, all these photos up now. See, what they've done now is they've made the Democrats a victim. Now that all these guys that are on the left side can go, oh, we're victims. Look at what the horrible, horrible Trump supporters are doing. I just saw an article earlier now. It looks like they found themselves a false patsy, somebody they could link to this now. They said a man in Florida has now been arrested in connection with the, I call it, fake pipe bomb thing that basically went on this week. They said the suspect is in his 50s and has an address down here in Plantation, Florida. He was basically arrested at an auto parts shop. Federal agents were seen removing his vehicle covered in political stickers. Oh, how convenient. From the location as well. Apparently, they allegedly found a fingerprint from him on one of the devices or inside one of the packages, and they're now saying that he is the one that is doing the fake bombing and mailing them everywhere, even though a fake bomb's technically not a bomb, so it's not really a bomb, so that he's not bombing anybody. The whole thing's a total joke. They're doing this, and they've done this directly, as I called the beginning of the week, to take all the focus off the midterms right now. They don't want anybody talking about how the right wings is starting to pull. They don't want to talk about the polls. They don't want to do anything except demonize the right as hard as they physically can right now, play the victim status, and try to get as many undecideds to swing over in their court. And that's exactly what they've done now with this giant, giant false flag hoax that they pulled. But I got to give them credit. You know, when you're dealing with somebody that knows no bounds, absolutely no limits, has no morals and no ethics, they're willing to go to any level to try to win. And this was something I did not expect to go to this level as far as mailing themselves fake inert pipe bombs to try to play the victim status. I really was shocked when this happened this week, but it doesn't surprise me now the more I've seen it. And of course, like I said earlier, I knew they were going to find some type of patsy to rail this on. And of course, they found somebody in Florida from his fingerprint on one package. As I already told you guys yesterday, one of my specialties that I do is shipping. That's what I handle all the time. Our staff is all cross-trained in shipping. Every single photo they've released has had six forever stamps on it. Those forever stamps are worth 50 cents. Six stamps at 50 cents is $3. If you guys can possibly find me anywhere in the United States that the United States Postal Service will mail a package that weighs multiple pounds from Florida to D.C. or Philadelphia or any of these places for $3, please let me know, because I'm getting horrible prices apparently, since this pipe bomber apparently can get $3 to ship packages all over the United States when they weigh multiple pounds. I just thought that was ironic. That was the first thing I noticed when I saw these photos, which showed me that it was complete and total hoax, because no postal service is going to ship anything out with that low of postage ever. They won't do it. They'll just hold the package, they'll discard it, or they'll try to return it to the return label, which if you guys look, the return label basically was coming down here to Florida, so it would have just come right back. They never would have delivered these packages to the place of origin on the direction, as far as on the shipping address, with postage that didn't make it up. They never would have done it. The Postal Service won't do that. So ironically enough, again, now they found somebody in Florida to blame this on. I just thought that was ironic. Now, Dad, on top of all the stuff they're doing, they've now played the full victim status and blame Trump supporter for basically this whole fake news incident.
Why does it have to be Florida again? There's 50 states. You know, why is, I think because it's all about trying to influence the collection in Florida too. and trying to say, okay, Florida, you've got some crazy Trump voters, Democrats, you've got to come out, you know, and force and show people in Florida that, you know, you're not crazy. I mean, you know, but every time they do something like that and they pick the specific state, there's a reason they're doing it. They know there's two hotly contested events going on here, the governor race and the Senate race. And they want Democrats in both parts. And so they're trying to basically galvanize their base of Floridians to go in and say, hey, you guys are all crazy. You're sending out pipe bombs. So we've got to get rid of all you crazy Republicans. This whole thing's nonsense. By the way, here's a CDC bombshell. Cannabis has now been approved by the FDA for treatment of brain and spinal cord glial cancer tumors, which have like a 97% death rate. This is huge. Wow. The FDA just granted orphan drug designation to Innis Therapeutics for pharmaceutical grade cannabis product for treating cancer tumors in humans. Although glial tumors affect less than 200,000 Americans, this FDA approval sets a precedent for natural remedies and could lead to a revolutionary way to legally treat many forms of cancer with natural cures. And justifying preliminary approval of utilizing CBD to treat brain and spinal cancer tumors of this kind, Innis Therapeutics provided the FDA with scientific rationale for CBD's benefits, including human experiences with a natural remedy, evidence discovered through in vitro studies, and preclinical animal testing. This is a big deal. But again, remember, these are patented CBD products.
Yep. That's what
these are patented. They're all patented. They're not. This isn't marijuana you got growing in your backyard. That's going to all be illegal. But remember, chemotherapy fails 97% of the time when it comes to these glial tumors. And other times too, with many other cancers, especially the brain, the lung, you know, and spinal cancers, they all are really bad with chemotherapy, but the oncologists never tell their patients that it has a 97% fail rate. So, you know, you gotta realize there's a lot of things that have been linked to glial tumors. One of the main ones is aspartame combined with nitrites in the diet. Pepperoni pizza with a diet soda causes a compound to be formed. It's called the diketiopeperazine. It degrades the form of nitrous urea, and nitrous urea is one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant brain tumors. Chemical insecticides, herbicides, GMOs, glyphosate, chemically based pharmaceuticals, vaccines, including flu shots, bleach and ammonia in foods, which they do with chicken routinely and also beef, chemical based food coloring, heavy metal toxins from industries that pollute farms. They're still spraying things like Roundup and 240D and things like the derivatives of Agent Orange in areas that have, you know, easements for power lines. You see it all on the side of the road. They're spraying all these chemicals into the ditches that have water running through them. Are you kidding? Chemicals from automobiles and industries and cities, chemtrails, radiation, nuclear-based pollution and leakage, chemically-based artificial sweeteners, including the aspartame and also the other ones out there, nitrites and nitrates. These are chemical compounds used to preserve meats and used in fertilizer and chemotherapy. So there's all kinds of different things that are causing cancer, but now they're coming out, which we told you guys, the Rockefeller Medical Industrial Complex, being supported through the Rothschild banking cartel, has now found a way to patent marijuana for the use of brain glial tumors, which, by the way, is one of those really bad ones again. Oh, by the way, Johnny Depp is out as Captain Jack Sparrow. I thought I'd mention this. I don't normally cover this type of news, but I'm going to. In Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean film franchise, as the actor is battling financial issues and personal dramas, which includes a lot of drug use and a lot of alcohol use. And the sad part about Johnny Depp, he really never did any good movies that weren't like weirdo stuff like Edward Scissorhands until he did basically the Captain Jack Sparrow movie. The last one he came out with really flopped, and it was actually quite awful. I told you guys a couple years ago when I went to see it, don't waste your money to see it. But guys, feel sorry for Johnny Depp. How do you go through $400 million and end up broke? I have no idea how that's even possible unless you own houses on all the continents in the world and buy every single car that's out there and buy every single jet that's out there. And just basically have this extravagant lifestyle. Here's an article, finally.
Hold on a second, Dan. Let me add on to that real quick, just because I saw the same article you were talking about, and I actually had the exact same question you just brought up a second ago, because his net worth was estimated to be around $400 to $450 million in 2016. Now he's basically broken in the middle of the lawsuit with his management group and everything else, and apparently in this lawsuit now, everything he's been doing for the last decade has come out to light. They said, and this is what came up in court now, they said Depp's extravagance include 14 different residences around the globe, including a chain of islands, a 150-foot yacht, 45 exotic vehicles, 70 collectible guitars, world-class jewelry, 200 pieces of art, and a $30,000 a month budget on some of the most expensive wine and liquor in the world. Depp's monthly payroll for approximately 40 full-time employees and security was roughly $450,000 a month, and his private jet expenditures were from $200,000 to $250,000 every single month. They said on average at the peak he was around a $2 million a month lifestyle with his private jet, his payroll, his property taxes, and his drug and alcohol consumption. So you guys want to know how you go through that much money that fast? Go buy 20 houses around the country, 40, 50 exotics, a yacht, and blow $2 million a month on payroll and dope and alcohol. That answers your question. Because I had the exact same question when I saw that article, Dad, and I had to pull up this court case to figure out how in the world you burn through that much money. That's how you do it. So just thought that would be a side note. All right, we're good now.
I mean, think about it. Let's say I don't really play the lotto, whatever. I have in the past, and I'm going to paint some halo over my head when it gets like $300 or $400 million. I'll buy a ticket just for the heck of it. But, you know, I don't think you should be buying the lotto every weekend, spending all your money on that. But if you did win the lotto and you won a $10 million and you paid $4 million in taxes and you took a $6 million one-time payment and you went and bought a $300,000 house and bought a pickup truck, you really have a hard time spending the rest of that money for the rest of your life unless you just went berserk like he did. I mean, that's a lot of cash.
Yeah.
And even if you spend $100,000 a month, $1 million a year, it's going to take you years and years and years to go through that much cash. And you don't have to spend $1 million a year if everything's paid for. You can live on $50,000 a year. So I don't understand any of this mindset that these guys do. And, you know, I've got friends who have private planes. Now that's expensive. But he may not have had a private plane. He may have signed up for NetJets. And NetJets is expensive. I mean, you know, you just to sign up for NetJets requires like a 2-year contract with them for like $750,000, and you have to minimally spend $375,000 per year with NetJets. I've got friends who've done that. They said it's just mind-boggling expensive, and you have to fly all the time. But even if you did that, you'd only be spending $750,000 every 2 years. He's not doing that. He's spending way, way, way more than that. He's not flying NetJets. He's leasing out I'm sure he's taking these big, huge private passenger planes. So, I don't know. I don't know, guys. Maybe he always thought Captain Jack Sparrow was going to be there forever, but he's 55 years old now, and he's not playing this game as well as he used to. GQ magazine has actually come out now, which is I find fascinating that we're actually getting national coverage on this about how men's sperm count in some cases are actually going to zero. A strange thing has happened to men all over the last decades. We've become increasingly infertile, so much that within a generation we may actually lose the ability to reproduce. What's causing this mysterious drop in sperm counts, and is there any way to reverse it before it's too late? Because men are basically doomed, it says. This is a terrible article as far as negative confessions. People know this. But we need to figure out what's going on with the sperm count. There's always been evidence that men throughout life are at a higher risk of early death from the beginning. I'm going to skip through some of this negative stuff. And now it says the Hebrew University of Mount Sinai paper was a meta-analysis by a team of epidemiologists, clinicians, and researchers. They culled data from 185 studies which examined semen from almost 43,000 men. It showed that the human race is apparently on a trend line becoming unable to reproduce itself. This is exactly what DARPA wanted in the 50s, was to reduce the population of the planet. This is what the Jason scholars wanted. Everything. Like I told you guys a few months ago, the women are too complicated to try to affect their reproductive cycles. Too many different hormones. With men, you can just have one or two things in your system, like BPA, bestial A, and also cell phones in your pocket, which will kill sperm counts. I have so many people that I know that I've worked with over the years, Austin, that they're infertile and they can't have children. And then sooner or later they find out it's not the mom who's got the problem. It's the dad who basically cannot get the mom pregnant. And regardless, it's so silly to me because there's so many natural things that you can do, including extra zinc, get the cell phone out of your pocket, stop eating foods with bisphenol A and chemicals and drinking out of plastics, eating organic. But guys, so many people don't see the forest for the trees and they don't understand what in the world is going on. Guys, it's not that difficult to get rid of low sperm count and infertility in men in everything that I've ever seen. 100 milligrams of zinc a day, HGH stimulate, 1600 to 2000 milligrams of vitamin I use a vitamin E every day. In almost every single case, you'll see the sperm counts go through the roof. So guys, don't try to do all kinds of drugs if that ever happens. Just try to do that first, and most times it'll work. By the way, a newborn has contracted fatal herpes virus from a kiss, the mom warns. Now, this is a sad story. This baby got kissed by apparently somebody who had herpes. And he basically died about 8 days later after it basically was infected with a herpes virus, just from a kiss. You know, HSV-1 typically causes cold sores or small blisters on the mouth, eyes, or lips, which can lead to severe infections or even death to newborns due to their undeveloped immune systems. According to the New York State Department of Health, about 70% of the U.S. adults are infected with herpes. I'm going to repeat that. According to the New York State Department of Health, about 70% of U.S. adults are infected with HSV-1 and can shed virus in their saliva at any time, even if they don't show symptoms. The virus can be transferred to newborns from close contact with someone who is shedding HSV-1 or has an active outbreak. So apparently, somebody with an active outbreak or blister with herpes basically kissed this baby probably on the mouth like some kind of idiot, gave that kid herpes, and the kid died about 8 days later. Guys, herpes is not a joke. It is extremely contagious. And, you know, if you know people with herpes, since they're saying 70%, in fact, I know people with herpes, and I make sure I don't eat after them or anything else, this is a major problem. Now, some studies seem to indicate that vitamin C done intravenously, like twice a week for like 2 months, 50,000 milligrams, will kill the herpes virus permanently and get it out of your body. I don't know if that's possible or not. I have seen that research, and I will pull it up during this next break when Austin takes over the next set of stories. But guys, it's one of those things we have to understand, that herpes is one of those things. If you're married to somebody who does not have herpes, thank God. If you're married to somebody who has herpes, you probably have herpes now also. And it's just something that's awful. Now, you know, Austin, it was one of those things back in the old days. You know, you'd get syphilis or gonorrhea or something like this back in the 60s or the 70s. They'd give you a shot of penicillin and it'd go away. And then they started doing the AIDS thing in the 70s and the 80s. And that was another genetically engineered virus as far as I'm concerned. And then you started realizing that, hey, you know, maybe it's not okay to kiss somebody on a first date. Maybe they got herpes. You know, maybe if they got herpes and you kiss them on a first date, you're going to put herpes. Maybe you need a little bit of research before you get intimate with somebody when you kiss them on a first date. And now you got to really think through that. Is all these STDs that are running around. What do you think, Bud, and what's your next story?
Yeah, and one thing that's always boggled my mind with this is how, you know, the aspect of sexual promiscuity, let's just be real about it, has been around for centuries, millenniums. I mean, it's been around. I mean, let's all the way back to the ancient times, Bible times, to talk about it. So this isn't something that's new at all. However, what is new is the incredibly aggressive viruses that we see all across the globe now that are spread sexually. And why is it that all of a sudden, up until only about 40 to 50 years ago, when these government agencies started playing around with all these biotech weapons and started weaponizing and mutating all these different viruses, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we start having this huge, huge problem with STDs and a lot of them that aren't even curable, like AIDS and herpes and stuff like that? That's always boggled my mind. Because as you said that, I've read the same research, and I'm pretty much under the same conclusion that a lot of these have been done as basically either accidental or intentionally mutated viruses that they've concocted up in labs through genetic modification and other aspects, and essentially released them to see what's going to happen, and then they end up getting released. Because somebody has to have it first, right? It has to start somewhere. It didn't just fall out of the sky and all of a sudden a bunch of people got it, they started spreading it. This stuff obviously had to have patient zero, and then it went and spread. So who started it? Because obviously this hasn't been an issue for thousands upon thousands of years. As Dad said, penicillin has been incredibly infective. I mean, it's just something right there, bam, done, easy fix. And now all of a sudden we have these things that are just incredibly horrible. So that's just my thought on it. Also, too, to touch base back on the lower sperm count, one thing that I've talked about and Dad's talked about recently, especially with the dangers of really going into this 5G network now, is the frequency and the aggressiveness of the frequency and radiation of the 5G. Most 4Gs now, 4G Wi-Fi, operates at a frequency on average of about 2.45 gigahertz to a maximum of 5 gigahertz. That's about the strength of the frequency. Verizon's new 5G system, which has already been installed in Sacramento, Houston, Indianapolis, and LA, operates at between 28 gigahertz and 39 gigahertz. Now, studies have already shown that 35 gigahertz frequencies causes severe immune system problems in rats. I talked about this on the Hagman Show a couple weeks ago. As entire frequency band we're currently being exposed to is starting to fuel the global infertility crisis. I'm talking about 4G right now. There's one study that was performed in Iran, published in the Journal of Cell in 2015, titled Effects of Wi-Fi 2.45 GHz Exposure on Adipose Sperm Parameters and Testicular Histomorphometry in Rats, a Time Course Study. So it went on to say here, explaining what we need to know the consequences of being saturated with just 2.45 gigahertz radio radiation. It's conducted at the Zhejiang University of Medical Sciences in Iran from June to August 2014. In the study, three-month-old Worcester rats were exposed to 2.45 gigahertz of radiation in a chamber that contained two Wi-Fi antennas on opposite walls. The animals were divided into three categories: a control group with healthy, non-Wi-Fi exposed animals, a group exposed to Wi-Fi for only 1 hour a day for 2 months, and a third group that was exposed to Wi-Fi for 7 hours a day for 2 months. All the animals were studied for their sperm parameters, capace 3 concentrations, histomorph metrics, and change in their testicles. The study concluded that both the 1 hour exposure and 7 hour a day exposure exposed animals showed a massive decrease in sperm parameters. Even a small amount of Wi-Fi exposure per day on a regular basis damaged the sperm of mice, the study proved. They went on to say in the conclusion, and I quote, "Regarding to the progressive privilege of 2.45 gigahertz wireless networks in our environments, we concluded that there should be a major concern regarding the time-dependent exposure of whole body to the higher frequencies of Wi-Fi networks existing in the vicinity of our living places. Decline in male fertility as one of the parameters in the study is considered a major concern during the past several decades. It is being suggested that direct and indirect exposure to radio frequency as the main environmental factor plays a strong dominant role in the observed decline." So what they're saying here is just a small amount of 2.45 gigahertz, even at 1 hour a day exposure for 2 months, caused fertility issues in these male mice. So my next question is, what is Verizon 35 gigahertz 5G going to do to us? And on top of that, this has been one of my biggest concerns that I've talked to everybody about and I've been very vocal about. 4G networks can be shut down and the frequency of them basically goes down very low because they can go further ranges, but once you start shutting them down, for instance, you shut down your Wi-Fi in your house, you don't get very much Wi-Fi exposure from your neighbors unless your neighbors literally live, you know, in an apartment next door to you. But if you live in a house, especially if you have any property, you shut down your 4G, you don't have much Wi-Fi exposure anymore. The scary part about 5G and what they're doing is the frequency of the towers. Not only is it going to go from 2.45 gigahertz, it's going to go up to 35 gigahertz, and on top of that, it's literally going to be on every single lamppost and lamp and telephone pole and light pole and everything around your area, meaning you're not going to be able to unplug this stuff out of the wall and not have it anymore. You're going to be bathed in this stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and as they showed in this study, just 1 hour a day for 2 months decrease the sperm in these mice. And so this is something that I keep bringing up, and saw an article today, and it was really good news. I'm hoping it catches a trend now. Unfortunately, it was not in the United States. It was in the UK, but it's a really, really positive trend that I hope we can really spread this news and get it out in the mainstream media that they're talked about. Mark Steele, who's a campaigner against 5G in the UK, has been highlighting the extreme dangers of the secret 5G rollout by Gateshead Council in the UK, where residents are complaining of increased illness and cancer in the affected area. And this has happened in numerous places now all over the globe. As soon as 5G rolls out, people that are completely healthy start having significant illnesses, start having headaches, can't focus, start having stillbirths, all kinds of stuff. He went on to say here that there's enough evidence to conclude the new smart 5G arrays on top of the new LED lampposts that have been installed emit class 1 radiation frequencies and should be treated as a severe danger to the public. Gateshead Council ignored his rebuttal. They went on to say, and I quote, "Please be assured," they put this out in a press release, "please be assured that there is no scientific basis or any credible evidence whatsoever for any of these scare stories about streetlights causing cancer and other illnesses." They even put out in social media posts and printed leaflets spreading that Mark Steele was spreading pseudoscience and that 5G was perfectly safe. The misused police powers then went in to gag Mark Steele. So they filed for a gag order against him. Here's the irony of this. If you know 5G is completely safe, and you know 100% there's nothing wrong with it, and somebody's coming around and they're saying 5G is not safe, why do you need to put a gag order on them? Because it's not true, it doesn't matter. Well, ironically enough, they tried to issue a gag order yesterday. He left the courtroom as a free man, and Gateshead Council had to fork out £11,000 of taxpayer money to cover the court costs amounting to the woeful ignorance. In court, none of the council officials from Gateshead Council could explain what 5G was or how it affected the body. And their leading government expert refused to attend the court hearing. In conclusion, the judge refused to gag Mark, stating the public have a right to know. The secret 5G rollout issue in Gateshead is now officially of public interest and will be treated as a landmark case for other people to start using this court's ruling to challenge their councils. They said, "We know Surrey, Westminster, and Luton all have these toxic microwave EMF arrays installed on their new LED streetlights." The judge declared Mark Steele as a credible expert and engineer on EMF and GSM technologies, which proves Gateshead Council are liable for corruption, misleading the public, making people ill, and attempting to discredit Mark Steele and all others, such as Satomi Gates, fighting 5G rollout. So, Dad, this is actually the first time globally now we've seen a court rule in favor of 5G as far as in the negative aspects of 5G and getting this stuff removed or at least blocked. So I'm glad to see that. Hopefully it catches a kite globally, but this is something that everybody has to understand. This is why we're seeing all these issues, all these health problems. It's a collected effort from so many different things. Yeah, from the glyphosate to the vaccines to the fluoride to the chemtrails, you name it. But one thing about it that Dad and I have talked about, you know, you can stop eating glyphosate food and you can go for organic. You can refuse to do vaccinations and get a waiver. You can basically try to not go outside when there's chemtrail spraying. You can do fluoride-free water with our water distillation system and drink pure distilled water. But one thing you can't get away from is if they put 5G towers on every single lamp pole, you're going to be bombarded with this Wi-Fi radiation 24/7, 365, and there's going to be no way to get away from it because every single town, every single city is going to be bathed in this stuff all day, every day. So the fact that Mark Steele actually took this to court and won, I'm incredibly happy about that.
Oh, I am too, Austin. In fact, another study shows that a normal 2.45 gigahertz Wi-Fi damages fertility. And then it asks in the same article, it says, what is Verizon's 35 gigahertz 5G doing? It says, it says basically, what, if you're going to understand Verizon's four-city rollout of 5G and the 23-city AT&T deployment, we have to understand what frequency Wi-Fi currently operates and the consequences we've already been suffering with. And it's showing right now we've had a major, major, major drop in fertility and you know, sperm count. And again, this may be, Austin, just one of those things that they're doing to reduce the population of the planet. They've done everything they possibly can because we don't need 5G. It didn't matter. In fact, in one study,
no, not at all.
In the study, 3 month old. Can you hear me okay, bud?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. In a study, 3 month old Whistler rats were exposed to 2.5 gigahertz radiation in the chamber that contained two Wi-Fi antennas on opposite walls. The animals were divided into three categories: the group with healthy, non-Wi-Fi exposed animals, and the group exposed to Wi-Fi for just, listen to this, 1 hour a day. That's it, 1 hour a day for 2 months.
Yep.
And the third group that was exposed to Wi-Fi for 7 hours a day for 2 months. All the animals were studied for their sperm parameters. And basically, here's what happened. The study concluded that both the 1 hour exposed and the 7 hour a day exposed animals showed decreased in sperm parameters. Even a small amount of Wi-Fi exposure per day on a regular basis damages sperm, period. And they know this, but they don't care. Now, I pulled an article up for you guys. I want to talk to you about herpes. I've dragged that cat out of the bag, so I need to finish it. What's interesting here is we've got several different articles here I want to pull up. Intravenous ascorbic acid may have beneficial effects on herpes, zoster-associated pain, dermatologic findings, and accompanying common complaints. This is a study out of the Medical Science Monitor, 2012. April the 18th. You can read that article if you'd like, and it talks about what vitamin C does. And there's another article, and it says high-dose intravenous vitamin C is successful treatment of viral infections. And here's what it says. Do you know that injections of mega dosages of vitamin C were successfully used in treating polio, diphtheria, herpes, shingles, chickenpox, influenza, measles, mumps, and viral pneumonia in the middle of the 20th century. We're talking 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. It was done over and over and over again before we started having these vaccinations and high-dose antibiotics. And also, here's another article. This is Orthomolecular Medicine News Service, and it says vitamin C, shingles, and vaccination. And it's talking about it. And Dr. Levy writes this article. He says the pharmaceutical industry and many doctors appear to be making great efforts to get as many people vaccinated against shingles as possible. However, he says the clinical response to shingles vitamin C therapy is decidedly different from its response to traditional therapies. Remember, vitamin C, when you infuse it into your body intravenously, it creates hydrogen peroxide, a natural form of hydrogen peroxide that's actually very good for your system, and it kills the stuff. Personally, I believe that if you really had a problem with herpes, and this is my opinion, okay, and you started doing this and you did it on a regular basis, that you would either no longer have these outbreaks or you would basically cure the stuff personally. That's what I believe. I think you'd get rid of it. And so it's very important that we really, really understand what this stuff does, vitamin C intravenously. And I can say this to you. I've had a lot of people who've gone to their doctors and they've worked in natural cancer protocols. And every single time when they used the vitamin C, they had much better results. Now, here's the problem with vitamin C. In many cases, you can't get it locally. You got to drive an hour or 2 hours each time you get the vitamin C. We had a man who basically would give us vitamin C whenever we needed it, Dr. Todd Robinson. He's dead now, may he rest in peace. He died last summer. His father died a year and a half ago. Crazy story. Father was like 85 years old. Son was like 52 years old. They're both dead within 18 months of each other. Another one of those why did this happen kind of stories. And the sad part about it is we no longer have that available to us closely now. So it was like 15, 20 minutes away. Now, if we go get vitamin C, since we haven't found it again, we basically have to drive an hour to an hour and a half one way to get it done. Very, very frustrating. I tried to help get that medical practice sold, and I couldn't get it done to allow them to continue to do that in the death of Todd. But it's just sad. In fact, it's still hard for me to believe Todd is gone. By the way, Polish schools now have canceled LGBT Tolerance Day. They've had enough. Several schools in Poland have canceled activities promoting tolerance for gays and lesbians following government pressure and threats. The government is threatening them not to do it. More than 200 schools have planned to take part of Rainbow Friday, an anti-discrimination event that a civic rights group, the Campaign Against Homophobia, had promoted in hopes of building greater acceptance for LGBT students. Private broadcaster TVN reported that some schools have pulled out of the event following an outcry. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. I'm not saying that you should be mean to a gay person. I think that's awful. You should try to get them saved. You should try to get them to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, their Lord and Savior. Gays have been around since Sodom and Gomorrah. Being mean to them ain't going to help. Newsflash. But to openly accept them and force other children to be tolerant of them, to actually endorse them, in my opinion, is wrong. I don't think that sexual preferences should be something that we should be forced to accept with anybody. You know, if they don't want to accept us being a heterosexual, oh, well, I can care less. That's fine. I don't care. But you can't force me to accept your beliefs. I think your belief is a perversion. I think it goes against the Word of God, which I know that it does. And I believe that it's not something that's biologically sound, in that you can't have people with same sex reproducing and procreating. The planet would quickly depopulate. Oh, that's right. That's what they're planning on doing anyhow. And this is what they're doing. And so they're trying to force it. So I applaud the polar schools that have canceled this. And it's sad to me, due to political correctness in the United States, Austin, that we've been forced over and over and over to accept things that go against our Christian values, what we know is right by the Word of God, and they really don't care how we feel, because they're going to say, you're going to do this and you're going to like it. If you don't, we're going to call you a homophobe or gay basher or whatever. The reality is, guys, look, gays are going to be with us. Be kind to them. Don't give them a reason to hate you, but don't accept their lifestyle, period. That's how I look at it. I mean, I'm not going to accept it. So it just is what it is. Like, what did Oprah Winfrey say a couple of years ago? All these things and all these phobias and all this stuff won't ever leave until the old white men are dead. Well, guess what, Oprah? This 63-year-old white guy, he ain't dead yet. And I'm going to continue to preach this stuff to my kids and the people I know for the rest of my life. If I make it another 30, 40 years, I'll be doing it until the day I check out, period. What do you think, Oz?
Amen. That's exactly what that leftist debt, that's that mindset of them, because Oprah is hardcore globalist. You guys probably already know that. And that's what they want, is they want to wipe out this old generation and start of a new world order, because they want to be able to control the population. See, a population that is confused, the fact that they have a penis but they think they're a female, or they think they're a unicorn or whatever they want to be, that's a pretty easy population to control and basically get them to do whatever you want them to do, because they can't even figure out what biological sex they are, much less try to figure out what the Declaration of Independence says or what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights say. That's a whole other topic that they can't
that's
even
exactly
figure out. So if we could confuse the younger generation from the globalist mindset, they figure it's a win-win. They erase all the morals and ethics through all the porn, all the music industry, all the satanic garbage that they're putting out all the time now. Then they turn around and confuse them even more and say, well, it's okay. If you want to be a girl today, you can be a girl. If you want to be a unicorn, you can be a unicorn. If you want to be a walrus, be a walrus. It's okay. You can just pick whatever you want. The issue with that, what's ironic to me, is that we're telling children that literally don't even have any type of concrete rational thought, not even close to it, that they can pretty much decide if they want to go on hormone replacing drugs, if they want to start a moving appendages, if they want to be a different whatever. But then we turn around and say, well, why, you got to be 21 to consume alcohol. Well, if we're going this route, why do you even have to be 16 to drive a vehicle? If a 10-year-old wants to say, guess what, I don't identify as a 10-year-old boy, I identify as a 25-year-old girl, I need to go ahead and get my driver's license, I need to be able to buy alcohol now. If we're going to that lunatic of a level, that level of just idiot behavior, that's where they're going to take this, because there's no limit when you don't have any type of lines or boundaries. It just do pretty much whatever you want. That's where they're trying to take it, and that's why they're indoctrinating these kids into the schools as much as they can. Story out here now, this article I just saw out in Kansas, which is quite ironic because it's talking about some of this in a different subject here. The parents of children at a middle school in Kansas are pitching a fit after they allowed the school to drug test their students this week after their children came home with huge patches of missing hair on top of their head. The hair apparently was used in a random drug testing process for 11 to 14-year-old children. The school district is now on the defensive after multiple students and parents complained about the hack jobs they received when they had their hair removed from their body. Gower said the district started random drug testing last year in middle school and high school students. They requested that hair follicle testing be done because it can show whether someone's been using drugs back to 90 days. However, instead of using a tiny bit of hair, as was informed to the parents, they basically took the clippers to them all the way down to the scalp on the back and on the top of their head. And some of the the photos on here are horrible. It taking huge sections of their hair removed to test the drugs. The district said they required students and parents to sign the student drug testing policy at the beginning of the school year if they wanted to participate in this activity. However, they never told them they'd be having their hair cut off like this. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up isn't because I have a problem with drug testing kids whatsoever. Kids, especially in this age group, do not need to be using drugs. Actually, nobody really needs to be using drugs. But especially at this age, it's detrimental on their brains. They're just everything. It's not good. You guys already know that. I'm not for children using drugs, even legal cannabis in states. It needs to be 21 and up, period. However, this is not done as an accident because we do hair analysis testing here in Florida. We do hair analysis testing. People call it all the time. They send us their hair. And one thing I always tell them to do is to collect hair as close to the scalp as possible and do it usually on the nape of the neck, at the lower part of the neck when you have a lot of little hairs that stick out, and to basically take it with a set of clippers. These photos were not done like that for a hair analysis. They were done like on the side of the head, on the top of the head. I mean, and these kids are going to have bald spots for months now until his hair grows in. This is being done as indoctrination to remind them that the all-powerful school and state and government controls them, owns them, and does anything they want to them. This is what this is about. This is about control and ownership of these children. First off, it's not the school's responsibility, nor is it their right to go in and start demanding that the children be drug tested. That's part of the parents to do. The parents need to step in and say, hey, listen, my kid's acting weird. I'm going to see if they're using dope. We're going to drug test them and see what happens. Good. That's what the parents need to do. The state now, the school coming in and chopping off the hair of these kids to send it off to an independent lab. Remember, guys, your hair is your DNA, by the way. Your hair is your DNA. Now you're sending this off to an outside lab. You have no idea what they're going to do with this DNA. They're going to screen it, see if it has dope in it, give you the result test back, and at the same time doing a hack job of your hair. I completely and totally disagree with the way they did this. I think it was 100% a way to basically exert their dominance over these children. There's absolutely no reason to do a hair analysis testing the way they did them in these photos whatsoever. They did not need to take it from the top of the head with that type of clipper as close to the scalp as they did. But again, Dad, the school indoctrinating the kids into these slave labor mindset control groups that basically teach them that the state is the all-powerful knowing God, essentially, with a little g, and that they can tell them what to do and when to do it and how to do it whenever they want. That's at least my opinion on it.
Well, it's submission. It's teaching them to submit. Bend over, we're cutting your hair off. But I don't want my hair cut off. We're not giving you a choice. Bend over. Come over here, you have to be vaccinated. But my mom said I can't be vaccinated. I don't care what your mom said. Get over here, we're going to vaccinate you. But I don't want to be vaccinated. I said get over here and get vaccinated. I don't think you understand, boy, girl. I'm fixing to hold you down and vaccinate you. It's kind of like the blood draw that you have at a DUI checkpoint here in Florida when they have a court judge sitting there that forces you to be subjected to a unconstitutional blood draw to give evidence against yourself to prove that you were drunk. You say, well, I don't want to do the breathalyzer. Well, we're going to do a blood draw. Well, no, you're not. I'm not going to let you do that. Well, here's court order. And they grab you, strap you to a gurney, stick a needle in you, and haul you and take your blood. I mean, it happens. It's again, like you said, Austin, it's the state exercising its control. It's the all-powerful state. And by golly, you're going to listen, and you're going to do it now. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that was a good analogy, and I'm really glad you brought that up. By the way, medical malpractice deaths are over 500 times higher an accidental gun deaths. Now think through that for a second. And why in the world are we not having huge amounts of people protesting about medical malpractice? A Johns Hopkins University study covering 8 years of data found there are at least 250,000 malpractice deaths in the United States annually. In other words, you get some doctor who misdiagnoses you, gives you a drug that kills you, or cuts off the wrong body part, or does something to you during surgery, and you die. CNBC reports the Johns Hopkins University study presents malpractice deaths on the low end, and other studies show that malpractice deaths actually exceed over 400,000 people a year. On the other hand, accidental gun deaths are around 500 a year. So, I mean, It's ridiculous, Austin, but because our insurance covers this accidental drug death, accidental hospital death, and accidental doctor's death, this iatrogenic disease, they call it, and we're supposed to think it's okay. It's ridiculous. Another story. Remember, I basically called out Roger Stone several months ago on the show, actually about a year ago now, saying that he was a wife-swapping guy, and he loved to, you know, go to these parties and these swinger parties and basically sell his wife or give his wife or whatever they do at these places for another guy's wife. Yes, this is the same guy you see on alternative news all the time. This is why I don't quote his studies and I don't quote his stories and I don't quote anything about the guy. Now you're saying, well, you think everything he says is wrong? No, I don't think that. I think he's an insider. I think he knows a lot of stuff. I'm just not going to quote a sexual pervert. I'm not going to do it. There you go. How do you like that? So there we go. That's how I feel. Here's an article just came out. It says, for years, Trump advisors Roger Stone loved notoriety. Now he insists on his innocence. This is by Chris Megarian from the Los Angeles Times. I'm sure that's a liberal rag. This is Pompano Beach, Florida. The sun had set outside the banquet room where Roger Stone took the stage, a pale blue handkerchief sprouting from his chest pocket of his double-breasted gray suit. He does dress like a dandy. I'll give him that. Hundreds of miles away in Washington, prosecutors are settling the case that could lead to his indictment in connection with the Russian efforts to interfere with the 2016 election. Now, what do I think about all this? I personally think this is a complete and total hogwash. I don't think he had anything to do with any of it, but I think they're going to be using that against him to do everything they possibly can to discredit him and to put him into jail. He's always played hardball politics. He's basically a hatchet man, and I just don't care for the guy. And as soon as I found out that the Bob Dole campaign, when they found out he was a wife swapper, dropped him from the doggone roster, no longer wanted him part of the Bob Dole campaign, at that point I was done with having anything to do or quoting him or even watching anything he had to say. Just thought I'd mention that to you. And here's the thing, guy. This is not like he went out and had an affair on his wife. Okay, that's bad. That's bad. You can repent and walk away from that lifestyle. This is a guy who says he's done everything sexually and basically experimented with everything. And that's assuming he's also involved homosexually. I mean, why in the world would I take somebody who's a admitted pervert and have anything to do with him from a news standpoint? And that's just how I feel about the guy. And I can't, if you want, type in Roger Stone, gay parade, New York City, photos. Get yourself an eyeful and you'll understand why I feel like I feel. What do you think, son?
Yeah, pretty strange stuff there. Also, too, another news, you know, after we saw the San Francisco court judge side with the jurors in the case of Dwayne Johnson now with the Monsanto Roundup case, which, sadly enough, it looks like now the pending agreement from Johnson's lawyers could actually reduce the $289 million in damages that's supposed to go to him, could be reduced all the way down to $39 million now, which is still a good amount of money, but it looks like the man is probably going to die soon from a lot of the stuff that the Roundup has done to him. So, but the biggest aspect about this is, this is huge now for everything else. The ruling represented a landmark decision since its first time in history a court has ever ruled in favor of plaintiffs suing Monsanto. The ruling is good news not only for Johnson, but also more than 8,000 other similar lawsuits that are pending against Monsanto Bayer currently right now, many of which claim similar harm from exposure to glyphosate and Roundup. The reports further indicate that this single ruling all by itself has delivered now a huge blow to the German chemical giant, wiping away a whopping 10% of the company's value now. While the EPA, which is pretty much bought and paid for by every single agency except for the United States citizens, continues to deny the evidence showing that glyphosate does indeed cause cancer. They've said over and over again, oh, it's perfectly safe. We tell you, glyphosate's perfectly safe. Kind of like when we're doing geoengineering, whatever we're spraying, oh, that's perfectly safe too. Oh, in those vaccines we inject you with, oh, that's perfectly safe too. Oh, in the 5G network that we're installing, that's totally safe as well. You guys just have to learn to start listening to us and listening to what we do, because everything we tell you is safe. It doesn't matter if there's any research backing it. It doesn't matter if everything points to the opposite. opposite of what we say. We say it, so it has to be safe. This is pretty much what the EPA does and all these other agencies do. However, the World Health Organization, which I'm not even a fan of, did their internal research on cancer back in 2015, declared the opposite, stating glyphosate is probably carcinogenic to humans. This decision was accompanied by the huge reclassification of glyphosate as a Category 2A substance, meaning it has a strong potential to cause cancer in those exposed to it. Based on these findings and the rulings in Johnson's case, Monsanto Bayer is likely to be hit hard by continued onslaught of lawsuits now. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Actually, thank you, Jesus. Hopefully we can get this stuff off the market now, Dad, especially if even just 1% of these lawsuits go further. That'd be 800 of them. That would be incredibly awesome for this stuff to go through.
I just hope it comes off the market also. And by the way, a Chinese vaccine maker has been fined a record $1.3 billion for faulty production of a rabies vaccine. The company was found to have falsified production and inspection data for 113,000 of its cell-based human rabies vaccines. I mean, this is nuts. They were wrongly mixing stock solutions, modifying centrifuges, and destroying hard drives to cover up the evidence to conceal illegal actions. I mean, these things can kill you. And these guys were doing this like a few years ago when Baxter Labs started sending out live H1N1 viruses in Europe, and they found out because all the ferrets they were tested on died. This is the point I'm trying to make to you guys, and Austin is too. When you get something like a vaccine and you inject it into your arm or your body or your butt or wherever they inject you, these guys, you're walking out there on faith. I'm telling you, you're stepping out in faith that what they're injecting in you is what they say it is. Remember back in the 60s with the polio vaccine when they gave us those sugar cubes? You didn't get it, Austin. I got it. 100 million people got simian 40 cancer virus from infected cancerous candy cells from monkeys. And it's caused an epidemic now in people my age of breast cancer, bone cancer, and brain cancer. And this stuff gets transmitted genetically through your DNA and goes to the next generation who never even got the stupid stuff. It goes through epigenetics and gets transferred in. So this stuff they give you, and these people who are doing this are some wicked, wicked people. Guys, I love you guys. I had the opportunity, the privilege to pray for you again this morning. Coming upon another weekend. I'll be heading home tomorrow. Be broadcasting back from Florida. Weather up here is getting really wet and cold, and so I've had about enough of that. I appreciate you guys. I love you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It's so awesome that you guys are supporting Health Masters and you're listening to the show every day and that you're our friends. You guys rock the planet. I tell you what, we couldn't have better listeners. The listeners that are our listeners and the Hagman listeners and Hodges listeners and Sheila's listeners, best people on earth. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And again, I'm grateful to have you. Austin, go ahead and take the show, do the write-up. Talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely, man. And yes, guys, thank you for all your support and thank you for all the positive feedback you continue to give us. If you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. And of course, look at the product of the week that we have on sale right now, as I talked about. This week, it went on Wednesday, the B-Complex, over 16% off this week. And of course, vote for the other products that you want to see on the product of the week. We really do appreciate all the feedback and support we continually get for you guys. And it's just continue to promote the show as far as getting the truth out there, guys. That's the best thing everybody can do right now for the shows. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. We send the shows to your email every single day with the links you can forward. But we have to continue this fight. We have to keep talking about the truth. And we have to keep waking up the population so they understand what we're actually up against right now and the real things that are going on behind the scenes. We love you guys. We appreciate you. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. And we'll talk to you again Monday, as always.